Hey everyone, this is John.
I do have my dignity. This is Wes.
No, you don't.
I have dignity.
If we have established anything over the last 4 years, is that no, you do not have any dignity.
Fair enough.
Okay, so this is the Nintendo Show, episode 48 of the official show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. And like we just mentioned in our incredibly random, non-sequitur discussion there, we have been doing this for 4 years.
I'm going to put this on the record. I like baby carrots. These are delicious.
Baby carrots are good.
These are delicious.
We get them all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Once a week.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. So.
Do your daughter like baby carrots?
Yeah, they're okay with them. I introduced her to ranch because I guess I'm just a terrible father like that. But now she'll only, like, she'll see me eating carrots with a little bit of ranch, and she'll ask for some, and I'll give her a carrot with ranch on it. She'll eat the ranch. That's it. And then just hands me the carrot back and asks for more. Like, great.
More ranch, please.
I have destroyed your metabolism. I'm sorry, child. So, like I mentioned a minute ago, before we keep getting terribly sidetracked.
I like our sidetracks.
This is the official show, which means we've got a little bit of news, not much news, to discuss. We've got some new release games, as well as a preview of November games, and the GBA corner. Just one GBA game, but it's a good one. Really good one. So,
any spoilers about it without giving it away?
Is Advance Wars.
Why don't you just give it away? That's not what I asked you.
I did the opposite.
Son of a bitch.
So, we were discussing, really briefly, about what we should do for a four-year anniversary show.
Did you come up with something?
No, I think we just came up with it, just kind of shout at each other for 2 minutes as, like, our favorite highlights. Because we were, like, thinking of, like, putting together highlights of favorite moments from the show, and really all we came up with just moments where we're just yelling at each other.
I liked it, though.
Yeah, but the babies are asleep. So if you want to hear us yelling at each other, you'll just have to, tune into more of our rankings as they happen. So, should we just jump into the news then?
Let's go.
Okay, so the biggest news over the past month or so was that that video of the 50 new things about Smash for Wii U. And I wrote down a few of the highlights, but
a lot of them aren't new.
Yeah, a lot of them are returning features from previous games, but I think they meant like new as in things that differentiate it from the 3DS version.
All right.
And actually, when you look at like the amount of stuff that is in the Wii U version that's not in the 3DS version, the 3DS version is looking a little bit bare bones.
Yeah.
Just a little bit maybe scant on content, but I'm sure those of you who bought it are enjoying it.
Yeah, they're not deeply regretting this decision.
I'm not buying it.
No.
Especially not now.
No.
But anything to you, just from your memory of watching it, stick out to you? We're not going to list all 50 things.
No, we're not. There's absolutely no reason to, because a lot of it's crap. They had a lot of those little gimmicky things like, make your own photo of moving shit, and that kind of garbage. Just like, all right, that's spectacular. That's... As I'm watching this, I'm like, yeah, that's something else I'm not going to do.
That is something I will never do in this game.
Nope.
Oh, Home Run Derby? Nope, not touching that.
They brought back the coins. Not doing that.
No, never going to play a coin mode.
Oh, look at that. It's time for me to nope my way on out of here.
So, let's talk about some good things. I mean, because there was nothing like that. That was just like, this is stupid, I'm never doing that, this game sucks, I'm not buying it. There are things that I say, like, okay, that's not a mode that I'm not going to use. But there was nothing that I was just, like, throwing things at the screen, like, why are you doing this?
How
this is
dare
dumb.
You? I mean, if anything, it's just, like, it's more stuff. It's not like, we changed this, instead of doing Super Smash Brothers where you're all fighting in combat, we're going to play chess. Like, why would you? It's nothing like that.
But there is a board game. So there's a little,
there is a board game.
Little bit of Mario Party in there.
That board game does look pretty cool. The little tour one where you get like random guys
and
make a team.
Yeah.
That seems pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's probably something I'll try a little bit. But yeah. I mean, really, you're playing this game for just like the competitive
pure
nature of it.
Violence.
Right. You're starting up a match. You're turning items down to low, if at all, and you're hitting the person with the controller that dared to grab you. So,
And then yelling at somebody as they're edgehogging.
Right, dude, don't you dare fucking edgehog.
You betcha. It's happening. It's happening.
No, absolutely not.
The cheapest thing is the Yoshi head slam into oblivion. Mm. That is the cheapest thing.
Yeah, it's true. So, I have a few things, some little highlights that I have listed here. Some things that I thought were pretty standout. First of all, there's 8 player modes. You can have 8 people playing at one time.
Maybe 2 Wiis, but yeah.
No. You just do it all on one Wii. Yeah. All at once. Because, of course, it only supports 1 gamepad, but then it supports up to 7 of other controllers, whether it be GameCube, Wii U Pro controllers, Wii Remote, and Nunchucks if you want to play the bad way. But Wii Classic controllers is the way I always used to play in Brawl. But
you just have to buy this new attachment in order to play our old equipment.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty silly. And actually, one of the other sillier things was you can also play LAN, which that's a blast from the past, right?
Yeah.
You can play LAN with 2 consoles, and it's compatible with the Wii LAN adapter, which, if you didn't know existed, I don't blame you. But there is there's a LAN adapter for a Wii that will work with the Wii U for this game, and probably only this game ever. But that's something you could do.
There you go.
If you can find one.
Yep.
And if you choose to do so, I will not. But the 8-player mode is probably something that I will rarely, if at all, actually use. Because when am I ever going to have 8 people in this house where we're all going to, like, let's all play Smash Brothers? And when am I ever going to have the appropriate control options? I have, like, 3, maybe 4 functional GameCube controllers. But I'm not going to make everyone else use Wii remotes. That's mean. Why would I do that? That would be a terrible friend.
All right. You. You are my least favorite. Here's a Wiimote.
Right. We're not really friends.
We're more like acquaintances, so you get the Wiimote.
Yep. So, other than that, I have a few other little highlights that I thought were pretty cool. One of the things that I thought was really cool is there's actually, like, layered stages now. Like, you can actually hop into the background.
That was pretty cool.
So, yeah, it adds, like, an extra tier to the fighting. I mean, it's not super different from having, like, vertical layers to the level, because a lot of times, like, for example, in the temple, if one person is fighting up top and then another person is down in Fight Club, it's not really super easy to go down there and just join in the fight. It's just as easy to hop into a barrel and go to the foreground and background. But it's just a cool little twist on the different dynamics. See, of the platforms.
I like what they did with it, because the first time I saw that, about going back and forth between the foreground and the background, was, oh no, somebody's going to get scared and just jump back and forth in between the two.
Mm-hmm.
But then they do the little fire trick.
Yep.
So after you launch over to the background, you're partly on fire, and if you jump too soon to another barrel, you just simply explode.
What that says to me is that there was one particular developer, when they were bug testing or doing whatever they were, testing out portions of the game, there was one guy in particular who just kept bouncing back and forth, being a little bitch. And they're like, no, we're going to fix this.
We're going to nip this one in the bud right now.
That guy, and we're gonna call it the Tim rule. Because Tim is a bitch. And some Japanese guy named Tim, apparently.
He's listening to our podcast. What the hell?
A couple other highlights. Metal Face makes an appearance from Xenoblade.
There you go.
Yeah, any kind of Xenoblade appearance is pretty awesome in my book. And you learned for the first time, actually.
That Shulk was in it.
Yeah.
Second he gets unlocked, done, and there's my character.
All right.
Yep.
I like it. And he's actually a really interesting character, because you can activate different Monado powers, and what they'll do is they'll boost one particular stat and decrease something else. So you can increase his speed, sacrificing a little bit of attack power, or you can increase his attack power, sacrificing some defense, so you take more damage. So there's different aspects of the Monado that you can exploit in order to, if you're fighting certain enemies, or if you find yourself in a situation to, like, maybe you're at, like, 200% damage, and you're like, well, I don't need defense anymore. So you just go all out attack. The event mode also seems pretty cool. It seems a little bit cooler than it was in Brawl, because it puts you in those, like, battles, like, hey, fight Mario Brothers, or fight these characters from this particular game. But it seems to be doing it in some more appealing ways than Brawl did. Brawl, I don't really remember much about the event mode. It was just kind of there.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then the last thing, I mean, it's probably a highlight for a lot of people, is the last thing that they showed, Mewtwo, is in the game as...
But not until spring of 2015.
Right, as free downloadable content if you have both versions, and I assume that you'll be able to pay for them if, you know, you only have one
That's
version.
That's ridiculous that they make you do that. That is ridiculous.
I mean, well, I look at it this way. You could get both versions and have some of the cross benefits of having both versions. One, your character stats will... and your custom controls you can pass from one to the other. You can use your 3DS as a controller if you have both versions, and you can unlock Mewtwo. Those are the big ones that stick out in my mind that I can remember. Is that worth $40?
No.
Whereas downloading Mewtwo, I mean, how much do you think they would charge for a downloadable character? $5, maybe? Yeah. I can't imagine that they would try to charge more than that. What do you think?
Yeah, that would be pretty ridiculous.
The look you're giving makes it kind of nervous. Do you think they try to charge more? A little bit? Well, think about it this way. They charged $12 for 8 new tracks in Mario Kart.
Okay.
Is one character worth that much?
No.
See, that's why I'm kind of thinking $5. Maybe six, maybe like $5.99 or something like that. Anyway.
Now, the amiibos.
Uh-huh.
Are you going to get any?
I don't know. I might. Not right away. I might grab some here or there, see how they work.
I mean, I may grab a Shulk or a Samus.
The Samus one is pretty cool.
Samus one's pretty cool.
I like the Samus one. I like the Link one just because it's Link. There's a Marth one. They're launching 12. And I think we've
I know Shulk's not in the 12, but I know eventually they probably are going to.
Yeah, I think the idea is they're going to have all the ones that are available. All the playable characters in Smash will have a amiibo figure. And then probably some characters that aren't in Smash will probably end up having amiibo figures because they've announced like amiibo support for Captain Toad. But Captain Toad is, of course, not in Super Smash Bros. Unless they're going to add him in as downloadable content one day. Let's have Captain Toad in there as well. I'd be down for that. But they also announced way earlier in the month that Smash Bros. Is coming out November 24th. So it is out before winter 2014, which is the release date they talked about way, way back, like I think before summer. Mm-hmm. And we all got a little nervous, like, winter 2014, what does that mean? Is that like, you could consider that February because it's still winter of the fiscal year. But that they're getting it out for the big holiday shopping season, which is good. Oh, was there anything else about the Smash 50 Fact extravaganza that sticks out to you, just in your brain right away?
No, not right now.
Ridley is there as a stage hazard / recruitable character.
Yep.
Which is which, all right. I like his character model. Looks
pretty
cool.
Pretty cool. But the middle Ridley is just him glowing red.
Sure. All right.
It was weird. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right.
No, why not? I mean, people have been like begging / demanding for this character. And guess what? You get him. Kind of. Not really. So eat that.
That'd be cool, Ridley being a playable character.
Yeah, he's quite big.
Yeah.
So there'd be some definite balancing that would have to go on to like counter his probably high attack strength and pretty wide reach. He'd have to be really slow, I would assume. Anyway, so the one last piece of news that I wanted to talk about before we moved on to games is that there was a firmware update for the Wii U. You can now have like little folders as channels and move your different games into different folders to organize your channels if you feel like it. Personally, I prefer just to have all my games out there as a big old mess, so I will be declining folders for now. So, on that note, let's take a quick break and then come back with some new games. Thank you. So October ended up being a pretty busy month.
Yeah.
I actually have not purchased any retail games. I have a few eShop games to talk about, but, you know, finances and family prevented me from getting specifically...
Your priorities are wrong.
Yeah, but Fantasy Life on the 3DS I wanted to get, and Bayonetta on the Wii U I also wanted to get. But I'll have to wait a couple of weeks before getting Bayonetta and Fantasy Life. But there was a demo, which we both have played, which I guess we can talk about.
It's completely ridiculous.
Oh, it's absurd, isn't it?
Complete nonsense.
Before we get into the absurdity of it, Bayonetta 1 and 2 are going to be coming on the same disc, $60 for the two of them. So it's a good deal. Get two games. I think I'm actually going to start with one and then go on to two.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, I'm not going to be like a super completionist. I'm not going to go for like high scores or anything. I'm just going to try to get through the games because... like we've talked about before, these type of games, Hyrule Warriors, Bayonetta, those type of like action games really aren't my thing usually, but I'm really liking both of them so far. But Bayonetta 2 is just awesomely insane.
I feel like my brain's melting when I'm watching this.
It is batshit nuts. Just like from the character designs with like the faces and their torsos.
Now, I was watching Twitch and there's these two guys, I forget what they're freaking called, but
doesn't matter.
They got a release of Bayonetta 2 and they were allowed to show up to 4 chapters.
Uh-huh.
So I watched from the beginning to a pretty good amount, but the beginning cutscene is like nonsense and it's fucking forever for this freaking video. And there's this one big black guy shows up in a Santa Claus outfit and it's like, and there's this one like typical mafia guy is like, forget about it. And just like running around like Christmas shopping. I'm like, what the hell am I watching here?
Oh, okay. it's Christmas. That's why there's a guy dressed as Santa.
Yeah, I know, but literally,
I just thought there was a dude dressed as Santa because
he's
Japan.
A merchant in fucking hell.
Uh-huh. Of course.
So it's completely ridiculous. This game is completely off the wall nuts.
and you know, it's potentially insanely awesome as well. I can see this
There's
game.
A very fine line between completely insane and just plain awesome.
Yeah, and...
this one is tipping on the edge.
It flirts with it, that's for sure. But as far as like the gameplay and the combo, it works really well. Mm-hmm. First of all, just to wrap up my thoughts on how insane it is, the demo that you play, you are fighting, I think, like, angels from heaven on the back of an F-16 jet.
Yep.
And then you summon a dragon to take out the boss, and then you have to fight your own dragon.
Because he hits your friend so hard, her soul flies out of her body, her soul and she gets dragged out into hell. You're like, what the hell?
Yeah, because Japan.
Because of Japan. Because of the people.
So...
oh, spoilers.
Yeah, for the first 5 minutes of the game. Whatever. So there's a combo system. And it can be pretty tricky to score high in the combo rating because everything's so busy, it's sometimes tough to tell what exactly your character is doing. But once you get into a rhythm of a couple of combos that are working well for you...
it's pretty good.
Yeah, it comes together pretty fluidly.
One thing that I had difficulty is your character, I guess, does evade. And if you evade at the right time, you get brief... time thing.
Yeah, you go into witch time, which everything slows down except you. It's like Beautiful Joe.
Yeah, it was very cool. But the thing is, I was having difficulty against the larger ones. I would get lost in my own combos, mm-hmm. and about the busyness of it that I can't see their attacks coming.
Yeah, and to score high on combos, you have to chain together a lot of attacks, and then you're focusing on which attack you're going with next to score well on these things, and you're not looking at his other tentacle arm that's about to swing around at you.
Yeah.
So, you know, you do have to walk that fine line between just pounding out combos and trying to pay attention so you're not taking as much damage, which will also affect your score. Mm. But I actually found that the dodging, the witch time, was a little bit easier than I thought it would be. I thought it would have to be like super precision. You have to wait till like the exact last second before like that last pixel was about to hit you. But it's pretty generous in the timing of it. When an enemy starts to attack, you can dodge a fair amount of time before the attack will actually land, and you'll still be able to go into witch time and pound out a couple of attacks before time returns to normal. You have to resume regular combat. I was actually also surprised with how quickly a lot of like the torture attacks. Like I think when you were playing, you got the one, like you were shoving the one guy into a meat grinder. And actually when I was playing, I got a couple of them. I'm not exactly sure what triggers them, but
I had no idea.
Like, there was one like where like I pushed an enemy onto a guillotine and its head got chopped off and blood went everywhere. But these things are, I guess, like finishing moves, fatalities. I don't know, because your enemies, as far as I noticed, didn't have a health bar, so it was tough to tell.
I used it on one of the, not bosses, but one of the big enemies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
yeah.
He was still perfectly healthy by the time I got done with it, because I did it early in his health. Mm, so gotcha. I don't know what triggers it.
Hmm, yeah, that's... It's different from the Umbran Climax maneuvers, because that is actually somewhere you see the gauge building up, and you trigger it, and then you're just doing, like, super powerful attacks.
Yeah, it's just giant arms and feet flying out of freaking nowhere, just bashing.
The giant arms and feet flying out of portals that are made of hair. Not the portals, the arms and feet. Because everything, like, all of, like, the attacks or anything, she's, like, using her hair, which is also her clothes.
And her clothes. Which...
Well, the hair is her clothes. Her hair, it's like her clothes are made of her own hair.
That's just a little odd.
Oh, well, yeah, it's totally ridiculous.
She has guns on her feet. I mean, that's fucking, like, normal compared to, like, all right, she's got guns on her feet. I can't accept that.
But it's what the so fucking stupid. It's so dumb, but awesome. Like, in that reminds me, have you seen, like, the new, like, Zero Suit Samus model in Smash Brothers?
No.
She's also got, like, the shoes, the Bayonetta shoes, except they're not guns, they're just, like, rocket boosters for, like,
God,
a double jump, which makes me think that maybe one day there will be like a Bayonetta character and downloadable for Smash. It'll just be like a skin swap for Samus.
Oh my God.
I'd base that solely on the shoes. Anyway, so
don't give them ideas, John.
No, I'm gonna give them so many ideas. I've already given them a ton of ideas. I don't see them doing it. Anything else? Just scanning through my notes here. I didn't score that great my first time. I think I got like a bronze medal, which, you know, I think is like the second lowest. I think you got
stone,
bronze, silver, gold, and I think there's a platinum after that. So platinum's your highest one. But, you know, I didn't really care.
I
had fun playing the game. I don't really feel the need to go back and like super master the combo system. I think it'd just be a fun game to just play through, because even though I didn't end up scoring that well, I guess that means I played pretty poorly, but I wasn't dying over and over again. I think I died once my first time playing through. So it's not like it was super frustrating either. So I didn't, even though I wasn't like performing really well, I was still able to get through the game, which is nice.
Hmm.
It's like the opposite of the Wonderful 101, which is another platinum game, where if you're not playing well, you are going to die, and you're going to die a lot. And it gets frustrating. I guess, like, as long as we're talking about Wonderful 101, I will also say it is kind of forgiving, where you always respawn at the exact, or just before the place that you died.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, say, in a boss fight, so you don't have to start a boss fight all over again. Anyway, that's the one redeeming thing about how frustrating the Wonderful 101 can be. So this is a game that I'm definitely going to be getting. Probably talking more about at least Bayonetta 1 in the mini show in November. So stay tuned for more. You got any other parting shots you want to give to Bayonetta before we move on?
I'm good.
Nope, you good? Moving on?
I got all that.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about a couple of eShop games for the Wii U that I have downloaded. First, I downloaded Lone Survivor. That one came out on the Wii U eShop on October 16th. I believe it was $13. And this is a psychological horror game that has a lot of like point-and-click adventure elements to it, but you're playing on a 2D plane. And it's really like heavy pixel art. You can see like the little squares and stuff for all the character models in the environment. So it's deliberately made to look like a bunch of those pixel characters running around. And it has this really dark environments, so like really poorly lit environments, which is the point of the game. You also have a flashlight that has batteries to it, so a lot of times you're moving around in the dark to save on batteries. And what you're doing is you are moving your little character through this apartment building. So far I've just been on one floor of the apartment, and you are going into rooms, you're looking for survivors, you're looking for materials to survive, like food. And there are little story elements that take place that sort of distort your perception of what you think is going on in the game. So, for example, there is a part in the game where there's a hole in the wall, and according to your map, that hole in the wall will take you from one room in this apartment building to another. So you go into it, and it's a really long corridor, and as you get further in the corridor, there's like flesh and organs and things, like the wall turns into like the insides of a big monster.
Oh god.
Yeah, you're walking through it and you're like, all right, this character is clearly insane. And you get to the end of it, like he gets like attacked by a monster, and of course it's like a story scripted event, and you get to the end of it, and the character is just like, what the fuck happened there? And then if you try to go in through that passageway again, the character will be like, nope, never going in there again. So that kind of way is closed off to you. And it's one of the things about the game, it's not really clear how you're supposed to progress. You have this map, and it'll show you, like, on the map will update, like, if you know that a door is locked, it'll turn red on the map. If there's a place you can pass through, it'll be green, so on and so forth. And early in the game, it'll, like, mark an objective on there, but I've cleared that objective, and I'm not exactly sure what the best way to proceed is now. Not only, like, where I'm supposed to go, but I'm not entirely sure the best way to play the game either, because I have a gun, but I don't really have an indication of, a quick indication anyway, of how much ammo I have, so I can go around and try to shoot these monsters. But unless I'm like counting in my head how many shots I have, I might have to reload.
Are you able to check how many are in there?
I can see how many reloads of ammo I have. Like if I just have my gun, it's only got one shot in it, and I check my menu and it says, okay, you have five more things of ammo to use. It's going to be four pretty quickly because I only have the one bullet left and I have to reload. So it's tough to manage that, and not only that, there's no health bar, so I can be attacked by monsters and get away and be all right. And I think food restores health, and there's also points in the game where the character will just comment, I'm hungry, and he'll make comments about it as you go throughout the game, and it'll like get worse, like, oh, I'm starving. I'm like, all right, I guess I better feed this guy then. So I'm like, here, eat some crackers that I found lying around. But it's I understand what it's doing. They're creating this atmosphere of uncertainty. So you're not exactly sure if you're close to death. You're not exactly sure if you have appropriate ammo to take out monsters. And it makes for a pretty good atmosphere, but it doesn't really make for good gameplay. It's a design choice that sacrifices user-friendliness for atmosphere, which the game already does a pretty good job of establishing. I think the developer would have done well to keep in mind that he is still making a game and not some sort of interactive video demo thing. I don't even know how to describe it, because it doesn't do the game any favors to make things deliberately difficult to execute, unless I'm totally missing something, and there it's like staring me plain in the face, and I just haven't seen it yet. I'm expecting a twist in the story, because I expect that the character I am playing is insane, and the world is fine. There are no monsters going around killing innocent people. That's just my idea of where the story is going. And there's a really early on in the game. I mean, if you don't want to hear any spoilers, sorry, here comes one. There's a scene early on in the game where he gets to his first objective. He's going, his apartment is like 206, he's going to 203, and this girl is there, and the girl talks to him very strangely. She just kind of brushes him off and is like, oh, I'm not going to talk to you unless you give it back, and you give her a stuffed animal that you found lying around, and she's like, oh, okay, thanks, I'll meet you on the balcony. And you're talking to some of the other people at the party, And you're like saying like, hey, it's the end of the world. We should be trying to survive. And they're responding very strangely to you. Like, no, it's a party. Have some juice. And you go to the balcony and the girl is standing there. And I see the girl and I see, this is where you get the gun. I see the gun lying on the railing. I'm like, a gun. I'm going to grab that first real quick. I grab the gun. The girl just flat out disappears. I'm like, oh, well, that's a thing. So I go back in. Maybe she went back inside and this character blacked out. And I go back inside and the two dudes that I was talking to at the party, like, hey, have some juice, are replaced by two monsters. So I'm like, no, that guy's insane. That's what's happening here. So I'm gonna keep playing because it's not bad. It's, like I said, a little bit user unfriendly in terms of, you know, the health and the ammo, then also what you're supposed to be doing next, because I think I'm just kind of roaming around at this point. I don't really have an objective other than to just kind of look around. So I mean, it's fine for certain genres, certain types of games, but in a game like this where they're trying to create this tense atmosphere, not having an objective in mind just kind of makes it feel like I'm wandering around creepy hallways for no reason. Anyway, let's move on to Ballpoint Universe, which is a Wii U eShop game. Also came out on October 16th. This one was $5. This one, I don't want to judge it too harshly because I've only played a couple of levels, I guess you could describe them as. But it's a bit of a mess. So
good start. Good start.
Yeah, I'm kind of regretting the $5 purchase. it's only $5, and I'm like, kind of wish I had that back. But I'm trying to give it more of a chance, so I'm gonna try to play a little bit more of it. But here's what it is so far. So first of all, it's a bit of a mess visually. It's got this hand drawn art style to it, and it's kind of got this style of someone who is drawing on notebook paper and like deliberately trying to create like this gothic sort of fantasy world with really weird exaggerated characters and exaggerated like landscapes and stuff. It's tough to just describe what it is offhand. You kind of have to see it. But it's not really so much the art style that's throwing me off here. It's the way you're having to navigate these particular like overworld like platforming sections, because the game, it's not a platformer, it's a 2D side-scrolling shoot 'em up game like R-Type or Gradius, or Ikaruga, to throw that reference out there.
Ikaruga.
Ikaruga. Love that bullet hell. God, it is so
bane
good
of my existence.
I think we got to like level 3.
I wanted to put a gun in my mouth.
Just change yourself to the polarity of the bullet, you'll be fine.
But I can't even kill myself properly, thank you, God.
But in between these sections of shoot 'em ups, there's this overworld. And this overworld is tough to navigate because there's layers to it, like Donkey Kong Country Returns or that level in Super Smash Bros. Where you're flipping back and forth. But it's because of the art style, it's easy to get these areas confused, and there's bridges that flip you back and forth to like the same areas over and over again. And there's no direction like to like, hey, you should be heading here next. When I first started the game, I was moving forward and I was like, oh, okay, well, this is like a little platformer. Maybe this will kind of get more complex as we go. And then I talked to this one guy. I was like, are you ready to head to the infinite sky? And I was like, are you offering me drugs? Because yes. And so then that is the next thing it does before you actually get to the real meat of the gameplay here is it sends you to a shop where you buy things, which turns out is equipment for your ship. You buy a melee weapon, you buy a gun, you buy a wing. I'm not sure what all these items. I know what the gun and the melee weapon does for now. I don't know what anything else does just yet. But you also navigate this really strangely because you have options on the top right corner and then your inventory in the bottom right corner. Sorry, the top left corner, the bottom right corner, they're on opposite sides of the screen. And when you buy things, it'll appear in your inventory. Then you can also upgrade them, and it all costs ink. And ink you get in the shoot 'em up sections. But you don't know that until you actually play it, which you can't until you go through the shop. It's very clumsily designed. So what I just did, I just bought one of everything. Okay, I'll get a melee weapon, I'll get a gun, I'll get a wing, I'll get whatever the fourth thing is. Doesn't matter. So I had a complete ship. I was like, okay, what did I buy this for? Then it throws me into the shoot 'em up section. Like, oh, there's shoot 'em up elements to this game. Cool. So I go through this section, and like, I'm in the infinite sky now. And I'm going through, I'm like, does this thing go on forever? Am I just playing an infinite
sky?
Yeah, am I just... And then I died. So I was like, okay, well, that was fun. And it throws me back out. And at this point, this is where I got totally lost, because it throws you back out in a different spot from where you entered. So then you're moving around like, can I go back there? Can I try again? Is there a point to going back to the infinite sky? Am I supposed to go back to the infinite sky over and over again and see if I can get further and further? Why am I not next to the infinite sky again? So I wander around for like 5 or 10 minutes until I find a place where... the screen fades to black and then goes, and you're in a completely different, like, overworld platforming section. So I move through that, and I get to a next one, and then there's a talking leg who's also a drill sergeant. He's like, are you ready for war? Like, yeah, let's go to war. I've been through the infinite sky. I'm ready for this. And then he's like, okay, go to war. And then I go to the shop again. I upgrade a couple of things, because why the fuck not? And then I'm in another 2D shoot-em-up section. This is a surreal experience. I thought fucking Bayonetta was stupid. I mean, this is... Bayonetta is dumb, but well-designed. Ballpoint Universe... I almost forgot the name of the fucking game for a second. Ballpoint Universe is stupid and poorly designed.
Maybe it's for those who do drugs, a.k.a. the infinite sky, before...
Maybe.
Going into the infinite
sky. I feel
sky.
Like they should tell you that, though. Like, take some drugs before playing. I'll be like, fine, I'll do that. I'll probably do that for Bayonetta, too.
Weed. Buy the Wii.
Right. But it's really hard to recommend this game. I'm gonna keep trying.
See, there's more accessories for the Wii. Now the Wii, Nintendo's gonna sell bongs.
There you go.
In order to play this game, you need to purchase this bong controller.
I don't think Nintendo condones that particular activity. I'm not trying to speak for Nintendo here. Please don't sue me, Reggie. Oh, I'm scared of that guy.
He does. He looks like he's going to devour your soul for some odd reason.
I think they deliberately hired a guy who looked like Donkey Kong.
But like an angry looking one.
You're in charge now. That would be hilarious if you dressed him as like Donkey Kong and Iwata was... Mario or something, and Miyamoto could be Link. Anyway.
Okay.
I've been playing Ballpoint Universe too much. So, I'm going to wrap up the Wii U section here with some of the Virtual Console games. It was all Castlevania this month on the Wii U Virtual Console. We got Aria of Sorrow, Harmony of Dissonance, and Circle of the Moon, all the GBA games, and also Castlevania Dracula X, which was the Super Nintendo port remake. Bad version.
Which one's the best? Which one's the best, John? What's the one you recommend?
Out of those four, Aria of Sorrow. Okay. Because it's the one with Soma Cruz. And it's the one that takes place, I think it was like 2032 after Dracula is dead, after the war of 1999, which we'll have to get a game for. God damn it. Anyway, so let's move to the 3DS.
Let's do that.
And there's only two things that I want to mention about the 3DS. Let's shuffle our chairs around really loudly.
Yeah, my butt is falling asleep.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Let's do a little bit more. 4 years. We've earned this. All right. That was terrible.
Hope you guys enjoyed that one.
That is staying in the show. I'm not editing that out. So, really quick, Fantasy Life came out on the 3DS on October 24th. This is an RPG simulation blend game from Level 5. Where you like pick a job and you're given different quests based on that job. You can switch jobs anytime. So if you're a hunter, then you want a stronger weapon, you become a carpenter, make yourself a better bow, so on and so forth. Switching jobs has a lot of benefit to how you're progressing through the RPG quest elements of the game. So it's one that I'm really looking forward to actually diving into, because it looks pleasant. It looks like it's not a super challenging game. And, you know, after, like, really action-heavy games like Hyrule Warriors and Bayonetta coming up, I'm probably going to be looking for a nice break.
Yeah, something chill.
Oh, and also, I've been playing a lot of Theater Rhythm, and I'm trying to unlock all of the characters. Once I unlock all the characters, I think I'm going to be done with it. But after I unlock all the characters, I'm working on a couple more, and I'm going through quests in order to get the shards in order to unlock everybody. And now they're starting to throw all of the hardest difficulty songs into the quests. So I'm starting to sweat it out a little bit. So yeah, it'll be nice to play a game that's not trying to kick my ass, which Fantasy Life sounds like it is. And then the other game for the 3DS, this one is for you, Wes.
Oh boy.
Came out on the 3DS eShop. Just
swear to God, if it's Animal Crossing, I'm tapping your neck right now.
Even better, Shantae and the Pirates
Curse. Oh dear God. Oh dear God.
I will say this. I am much more impressed with this game than I was with the Game Boy Color and the DSiWare version. The DSiWare game...
Well, it's not very difficult to be.
Right. Well, the Game Boy Color game did not...
It's just one turn looking fancier than the other. They must have put a top hat on this one or something. But like, ooh.
And a monocle.
And a monocle on this piece of turd.
So, I was not impressed with the Game Boy Color one. The DSiWare one had... I thought was fine, but had some pretty glaring issues, which caused me to never finish the game. The gameplay is about the same. The attack mechanics, you know, using your hair to whip enemies, which I think is your favorite part of the game.
Yeah, you betcha. That's just awesome.
All that is the same, but it does a much jitter... God damn. A much jitter bob.
Jitter bob.
A jitter bob, yes.
Jitter bob.
It does a much...
Jitter bob.
Stop it. It does a much better job of executing the basic structure of basic platforming. So...
You're lucky I don't know the rest of those words, or else I kept singing.
I look forward to the next show. So...
Put a boom boom into my heart. I don't know, something like that.
Okay. If you say so. Yeah. So, in previous Shantae games, they throw you into this semi-open world, like a Metroid style, where there are places you should be going and getting certain upgrades will unlock different areas and allow you to further explore areas you've already been to. The problem with the previous Shantae games was that they poorly designed the actual world that you're moving through. Everything was very samey. It was tough to tell where you were and how you're progressing through the game and where you should be going back to. Also a big part of that was the lack of a really good map. Because could you, like, try to imagine playing like Super Metroid or Metroid Prime without a map?
Yeah, good luck.
You're going to get lost all the
time.
Good
luck.
You will have no idea where you're supposed to go back to use these power-ups that you found. But Pirate's Curse does a much better job of executing that particular formula, mostly because they simplify it. They boil it down to really basic stuff. So instead of having one big world, it's divided into different islands. And each different island is actually pretty small and mostly self-contained. What you're doing is when you're backtracking for either power-ups or sometimes there's like little things that you need to backtrack to get in order to progress in the main story of the game, which it's usually painfully obvious which island you have to go to in order to find that next thing, the next key to unlock your next door, for example. And even though like the world isn't connected, they spent some time improving their map system, mainly by having one. So the map is rudimentary. It's like Castlevania type maps where it's just kind of filling in the squares as you go, but it makes it so much easier to track your progress to a particular level or to realize that like, hey, there's a section here that I couldn't get to before. Maybe I can come back to it with a power up later. So there's as you progress through the game, your power-ups are all kind of piratey themed, as you might be able to tell by the game. The first one you get is like a gun, then you also get like a hat, which acts as a parachute, because you don't actually wear the hat, you just kind of pull it out and it lets you glide.
You know, why not?
Yeah, just cause. You also get a pirate sword, which gives you a down sword attack.
Because, you know, a hat would be her greatest weakness, just contain
hair. Because that covers, yeah, that's a good point, wow.
She can't do shit.
That is a phenomenal point, actually. But everything they do in the game is very technically sound, which is something that, you know, you can usually say about WayForward games is they're always designed very soundly. It's just sometimes that they lack not personality, that's not the word I'm looking for. What's the word I'm looking for? It lacks that extra little layer of user-friendliness to make the games enjoyable to play. They always play well, but sometimes they can feel like a chore to play, like the previous Shantae games, or A Boy and His Blob. A Boy and His Blob, at some points, it became hard to keep track of your progress, so some of the later levels, it started to be a bit of a slog, even though I like that game a lot. There's a good variety to the structure, which is another thing they do really well. So, like, you have each particular island, but it's not all, like, Metroid-style or Castlevania-style gameplay where they say, here's your next map section, attack every enemy until you get to the end and fight the boss. Rather than that, they mix it up a little bit. So they'll have, like, those action sections of the island, but then on a separate island, there's, like, a section where you're carrying this other character. So it's like an infinite runner kind of game where you're just having to get through to your next section. And then there's another island where there's a big stealth section, so they mix it up like that. So the island system and the way they have it structured is really well suited to a handheld. There's an upgrade system, which is pretty much your only use for money other than, like, buying potions. You can upgrade, like, your hair attack strength and how quickly your hair can attack. You can upgrade your gun and your sword. The game doesn't really take itself too seriously, which is also a good thing. But yeah, I'm liking this game a lot. It's a bit pricey. For, like, an eShop game, it's $20. And I am more than halfway done with it, and I've spent about 5 hours with it. So it's really briskly paced. But yeah, I'm having a good time with it. I'm not regretting this purchase like I did with Ballpoint Universe. So,
you're done.
Yeah, should we move on? Are you done checking your emails?
Yeah, because I was done.
All right, let's take a quick break and then come back with some games coming out in November. So we got thanks for that. There's quite a few games worth talking about coming out in September. We'll start with the Wii U. Super Smash Brothers is the big one.
There you go.
Coming out, I said September, didn't I?
You're Smash Brothers in the Super form.
Yes.
And you fight.
Coming out November 24th, not there September. We're done with September.
Yep.
And have been for quite some time.
Yep.
So, how do you feel about the name? Super Smash Brothers for Wii U.
I don't want to talk about it.
It's a bit on the nose, don't you think?
Yeah,
just in case you forget.
I was thinking they should have called it Mayhem.
Sure, that'd be cool.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, and you know, I guess it's beneficial to call it for 3DS or for Wii U in case you get confused which one comes in the bigger box. So there's that.
All right, I don't think this tiny little cartridge is going to be going into my
shove
Wii.
It into the SD card slot of the Wii U. Why can't I play Smash?
I want to play.
But you'd actually be surprised how stupid people are.
Oh my god.
There's, when I was working at a game store for a company that's now out of business, there are people, a surprising amount of people, and I guess one would be surprising enough, but there are more than one people who come to the store and make comments like, oh yeah, you can play PS2 games in your PS1, the graphics just won't be as good.
Oh god.
No, you can't. Oh, you god. Absolutely cannot. Don't. Please try. Please buy this and try. Go.
Oh
go away.
God.
Yeah.
And then they come back and they're angry at you for letting them buy it.
I never actually let them do it. I might now, but I was like,
that'd be funny.
I was like 19 and I thought I liked my job at the time. Anyway, but yeah, people do stupid things. So I guess maybe the naming of Super Smash Bros. Isn't so dumb after all. It's still kind of dumb. It's still pretty dumb.
It's very anticlimactic.
Yeah. For a game that they've been hyping for a while, it's like, yeah, they could have come up with a better name.
Maybe they're hiding it. Like, at the release date, you're going to look at the box and be like, oh my god, Super Smash Brothers, murder all the babies. I don't know.
Wow. I think that goes against Nintendo's general image.
Well, you get my point with that, right? I'm trying to make.
They should, like, give you different stencils that you can use. Like,
to make your own name on the...
Yeah, name your own game. And you can name it Murder the Babies if you feel like it. So, I'll play as Link, like I usually do. You got some characters in mind that you want to try? I mean, aside from Shulk, like you mentioned before.
And, you know, my Samus.
Yeah.
I'm a Diddy Kong.
Uh-huh.
And, most I play a lot. Lucario, I got pretty good with.
Sure. Yeah, Lucario, that was a character, that's for sure.
Yep, that was a character.
Yep. So, this and that, it's surprising. Well, I guess it shouldn't be that surprising, but... this is probably going to take up a lot of our co-op time, this and Hyrule Warriors. I guess the surprising part is this Hyrule Warriors. Like, I did not expect
it really to spend... sucks you into.
Yeah.
I tried Gearheim for the first time today.
You like him?
I love him.
Yeah.
Think he is awesome.
I'm still sticking with Link most of the time. Link and Lana are still my two main characters. But I'm just... First of all, I'm super frustrated with the Wii Remote controls. We're not playing with Wii Remote again. We're buying a Pro Controller before we try to play this co-op again. It's stupid. It is stupid, ridiculously dumb. That there are parts, more than once, where I was standing in front of an enemy and shaking the Wii Remote back and forth. Deliberate motions. I'm not like shaking like a crazy person, but being very deliberate with my motions there. The character is just standing there. I'm like, God damn it, Zelda, swing your sword. Fucking motion controls. If you're going to use them, design them better. Anyway, Pro Controller is the way to go. And Pro Controller is going to be the way to go for Smash Bros. As well, so we'll have two uses for that. And actually, Pro Controller probably also use for Bayonetta as well. Because... And Pro Controller might become my default controller simply because of the battery life. It's much better than the Wii U gamepad. I mean, we played... When did we stop watching the Smash Bros.? Because that's when we... the extravaganza, because that's when we took the gamepad off of the controller. I mean, we probably used it for about 2.5-3 hours, and then we were redlining.
Yeah.
Which is not ideal for extended co-op play. But, yeah.
But you could just plug it in and play it plugged in.
True, then I have to move the charger. Maybe I'll buy a second charger. That'd be kind of useful. Anyway.
Yeah.
Neither here nor there. The thing is, I got like chargers like for my DS and like GBA sitting around. Mika likes to eat them. She'll like crawl up to him like, this is a fun time snack. And eat them like spaghetti. Great. So let's imagine for a second that you had a Wii U and Super Smash Brothers. Do you think you'd play online very much?
No.
I don't think so either. I don't think it works for me.
I mean, I play League of Legends and people are dicks.
You get enough of people. I mean, the Nintendo community is a little bit different. I mean, I feel like, and I mean this in the best possible way, Smash Brothers is the Nintendo franchise that has the biggest potential for dickishness. Whereas if you're playing Mario Kart, you know, generally people are pretty friendly. And you know, if you're poking around Miiverse, 99% of the people are very friendly. Yeah. There's not too much dickishness going on there in the general Zelda community, but I can see that Smash gets very competitive. There are people who will say things in the heat of the moment.
We've almost lost our friendship a few times. Not you and me in particular, but me and your brothers.
Well, yeah. I mean, they can be dicks too.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care. Fuck those
Yeah,
guys.
You're very chill. You're like, all right, you beat me again. Who cares? And Jeffrey's like throwing stuff and I'm storming off because I'm angry.
Well, you know, I'll get mad if you grab a Regihog. That's not how gentlemen play.
Well, you know.
But, It's generally a friendly community. And did you see the Penny Arcade comic about Mario Kart?
No.
And how you can only voice chat in Mario Kart with your friends. You can't voice chat with strangers. And they brought this up. And they actually, like, took the opposite side that most people were saying, because most people were like, oh, no, we want voice chat. It's dumb that you can only send, like, these little pre-selected messages that for your Miis to say in the lobby, because you can't voice chat during the race. and you can only voice chat with your friends in the lobbies. And if you're not playing with friends, then you can only send like pre-selected messages that will appear above your Mii's head as if your Mii is saying it. And their example was like one guy, one of the Penny Arcade characters, screaming very loudly at his TV, like, what you're actually saying. And he's like swearing, like, you dumb piece of shit, motherfucker. You hit me with that blue shell at the last moment. I can see your country's flag. I know where you live. Your country's not even that big. I'm going to fucking murder you. And then the next panel is like, what your Mii is saying. And it's just a little bubble above a Mii's head. You really got me there. So yeah, sometimes it's okay for people to be shut up on the internet. It's fine. You want to just spew random shit and hate, get a fucking podcast. That way people can choose not to have to listen to your stupid shit.
I mean, that's why we started this in the first place.
Right, because no one wants to listen to our stupid shit. And for 4 years, we've been doing stupid shit.
Well, you know. So, thank you, you loyal three right. listeners.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. So, I'm glad I'm waiting for the Wii U version. I don't know about you, but
I don't even own a Wii U, so yeah. I guess I can wait.
Yeah, you're still not getting the 3DS version, which I mean, I don't blame you. I mean, if we really want to unlock Mewtwo, you could get a 3DS
version. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. Already, right. Nope. Mewtwo's not worth it.
Okay.
I will not sell my soul to the devil.
Fine. Well, the devil that is the Smash Brothers for 3DS.
Sure.
All right, we have found the devil. So, a couple of other games coming out on the Wii U on the eShop in November. Stealth Inc. 2 is coming out November 6th. It is a puzzle platformer from Curve Studios. It's got a open world Metroid style of like level selection and gameplay. I never played the first one, but it was pretty well received. It's got a really cute art style to it, and apparently is a really competent puzzle platformer. Oh, and it has a asynchronous co-op, so one person can play with a pro controller or whatever, and the other person can play with a gamepad and like help them out with their stealthiness or drop items or things like that. So actually that's something that we haven't really seen on the Wii U since Rayman Legends a year ago. It's been a year since Rayman Legends came out. Can you believe it?
God, dear God.
Didn't feel like it's been that long. But then also in September, this one's just slated for late September, The Swapper, which is another puzzle platformer from Curve Studios. This one's got a much like darker, more ominous tone than Stealth Inc. 2. Stealth Inc. 2 is kind of playful. But The Swapper is a puzzle platformer where you like swap consciousness, soul, however you want to say it, with other like clones. So you're like moving around in this environment as one clone. You see another clone who's across a chasm, for example, and you need to get across the chasm. So you just swap yourself into that one, leave your old body behind, and keep on going. And there's different puzzle and platforming elements to where you're having to use multiple ones to get navigate through these areas. So both of those seem pretty cool. And then one that's just slated for November in general is Citizens of Earth, which is an RPG from Atlus, the makers of Shin Megami Tensei and Persona and Etrian Odyssey. So there's a lot of RPG pedigree, Devil Survivor as well. So a lot of RPG pedigree behind this one. This one, the premise is you are a newly elected vice president.
Of course.
Going back to your hometown.
Dick Cheney.
Right. You are Dick Cheney.
You're Dick Cheney.
A younger version of him with like a red pompadour.
Before the murder.
One that actually... Wait, which murder? I believe that man has killed many people. He's got that look.
I feel like this. He doesn't eat like normal food. I think he must survive off like the hearts of those he's killed.
Right. I believe that to be absolutely true. And I also believe he doesn't know how to use the internet, which is why I'm brave enough to say these things. Because if he could, I bet he'd just like monitor the internet for his name. And like crawl out of your bathroom.
List.
Crawl out of your bathroom mirror. Someone spoke the name of Dick Cheney. But the vice president in this game is a younger version of him before he became the devil. And his hometown is attacked by, I think, aliens, but I'm not 100% sure on the premise of that one. But then you go around the town and you recruit other people to fight your war for you. much like Dick Cheney.
I think we've someone across the possibly here.
Yeah. This is the game based on Dick Cheney's life. So, and it's an RPG. There's not a whole lot of footage of the battles, but from the few seconds that are out there, I think that they're turn taking, and you don't actually play as the vice president in these battles. The vice president is just basically your avatar going around collecting these people to do your bidding for you. So there's parts where they're like following you around like Pikmin, and there's parts where there's like an actual battle sequence, but they're not like typical RPG. don't be scared. There's it's just a game. It's not real. We're not going to get the vice president knocking on our door. And which, you know, at that time of recording here, I don't know, maybe you're listening to this in the future, the vice president is currently Joe Biden, who will probably knock on our door and ask us for the Wii U bong that he's heard so much about on our podcast. Because he's that kind of guy. God, what a night and day comparison those two are. Joe Biden, Dick Cheney. We got the devil and a stoner. So, what the fuck was I even talking about? Goddamn.
Yeah, Dick Cheney's recruiting minions fight for him.
Yeah, it's recruiting his minions.
Because it doesn't get his hands dirty.
But they don't, like, conform to typical, like, RPG classes. And again, because we haven't been able to see much of the battles, I don't know exactly what these characters do, but you have, like, a barista and a baker and a car salesman.
Candlestick baker?
Fuck you. God damn it. No, that doesn't. After 4 years, no. No, that is the last time I will put up with some of your bullshittery. We're talking about serious things here. We are talking about RPGs, about vice presidents, and used car salesmen. Keep your stupid jokes to yourself.
I spell a sitcom.
So... that's really all I wanted to say. Like, I really don't know how this game is going to work, but it looks weird, which is exactly my type of thing, really. So, let's move to the 3DS. In November, we are getting Pokemon Alpha Sapphire and Omega Ruby.
Reserved it today.
Oh, good.
Pre-ordered it today.
Very nice.
Ruby.
You're getting Ruby?
I'm getting Ruby.
I kind of wanted Ruby. All right, I'll get Sapphire, I guess.
And then, okay, you buy Sapphire, we'll trade. Who cares?
All right, fine. Well, what made you go with Ruby? Anything in particular?
Because I've always played Ruby.
All right.
But I'll play Sapphire, let's mix it up.
Okay.
We'll trade.
Because I most recently played Sapphire.
Okay.
For the Nuzlocke.
I won't do this. I'll buy Ruby, you buy Sapphire, we'll just trade.
Okay, sounds good. So it's
Crisis averted.
It's a long overdue remake. Because this is one we've been talking about probably since we started doing this show. Like, they're going to do a Ruby Sapphire remake next, right? Right? No, 4 years later, we're finally getting it.
We called it. We're fucking psychics, man.
We just predict things.
We predicted how Nintendo's going to milk more money out of us.
I get this. I predict that 4 years from now, there will be a new Nintendo console. How's that for a prediction?
You're a fucking wizard.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it?
Use your powers for good.
But there will not be an F-Zero game. Sorry, everybody.
Nope.
Nintendo's
not that cruel to us.
I mean, it's also kind of interesting that they're getting around to remaking the worst of the Pokemon games, right?
I hate you.
Right? I mean,
I hate you.
Which one's worse?
I hate you.
If you're going to rank the generations...
Don't talk bad about Torkoal.
Bottom to top.
Do not talk bad of Torkoal.
I like Torkoal. I mean, it's slow. I mean, double weak to water. I mean,
God, I hate you so much.
So,
God,
if you're going to rank them, it clearly goes 3rd, 4th, 6th, 1st, 5th, 2nd.
What?
Generations.
Oh.
Yeah. 3rd, 4th, 6th, 1st, 5th, 2nd. Actually, I might put 5th first. Just depends. My general mood of the day. But yeah, I mean, it'll be nice to play the worst one all over again.
God, I hate you so much. Oh, God, I hate you so much.
So, what?
I enjoyed it. Up until the Elite Four.
Well, you know.
Because that's the biggest BS in the entire world.
If I'm being totally honest and fair, I enjoy it as well. I just don't enjoy it as much as some of the other ones. And it's not like...
I enjoy it more than Diamond.
Okay, that's
definitely fair.
I'm not also saying like this is like so far in the distance that, you know, every other Pokemon game is so much better. Like, no, I mean, this is like being the dumbest guy at the genius meeting. I don't know. I don't have an analogy here. It's still a really good game.
An episode of Futurama where they're trying to solve the heat problem and Al Gore shows up.
Yeah, what was the name of that? that particular, like, legion of whatever.
I forget.
Yeah, they had some sort of association name. Anyway.
I forget.
Yeah.
I just have a mental image of Al Gore yelling, "Peace out, y'all," and then flying off into space.
Yeah.
Yeah, good times.
And then, he wrote his book, Earth in the Balance, on the much more popular Harry Potter and the Balance of the Earth. That show used to be so good. So, Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire have been completely redone in 3D in the style of X and Y.
Second side. Yeah, please. Another sidetrack. Yeah. What did you think of the final finale?
Of?
Futurama. The final episode.
Did I watch it? I don't know if I watched it.
Finally, like, it's stuck in a time freeze and...
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And they, like, live out their lives, and then they're able to, like, come out of it.
Yeah, and then reset.
Mm, all right.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I feel like the same. Yeah. I feel the same about it that I do about most of the newer episodes. It's fine.
Yeah.
It ranges from, like, shit gravy to fine. So, there's, I don't know about you, but I kind of miss the sprites, the Pokemon sprites. Do you? I mean, we're not that far removed from them. We've only had X and Y and now these remakes. But I kind of miss, like, the 2D style of Pokemon games.
I know.
No?
Not even a little bit? I like them.
All right. Fair enough. It seems like I'm the minority now, which is fine.
Because you like those old classic games and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think there was anything wrong with keeping that particular series, Pokemon, in like a 2D world. I mean, it's cool that they tried something in 3D, and it works just fine. It's like they broke the game or anything. That it plays almost identically, but there was just something to me charming about the little sprites. But it is what it is. So there's more Megas in Ruby Sapphire.
Do they announce any?
Yes. I don't know what they are though. I didn't care.
Well done.
Yeah. Whatever. I think like the legendaries. I think Salamence has a Mega, maybe Flygon. I don't know. I'm just going through dragons now. Altaria.
Yeah.
Got quite a few dragons.
There hasn't been a dragon with a Mega yet, has there?
No.
No.
There are Megas that turn into dragons. Ampharos becomes a dragon.
Yeah, which is pretty badass. Cool.
Yeah. That's the only Mega that I regularly use.
Do you have like a Flaffy lying around?
No.
Damn.
If I could get one, it's not hard.
Because I started a new game, so I need to make a team.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just let me know who you want. I'll breed some guys. It's fine.
I need a Flaffy.
I'll have to put Pokemon back into my DS, my 3DS, because I keep taking it out for Theater Rhythm.
Because I
keep
getting
drawn back in.
I started with a grass guy. I don't even know what that guy's freaking name is.
He's actually not that bad. Oh, it's Chespin.
Hey, he's actually not that bad.
Yeah.
Slow.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's... What is easy? Grass dark?
I think he's a grass fighting by the end of it.
Okay. Yeah, because Greninja's a water dark.
Yep.
So, and if I were going to start a new game, which, you know, I might. I might start a new game when I upgrade SD cards. I can just re-download my free version of X that I haven't played. If I start a new game, I'd probably go with Greninja. Just because...
He's okay.
I mean, I almost always start with a fire type.
Yeah, I think the fire in that one's the best, as usual.
Yeah, because the most recent Nuzlocke of Ruby Sapphire that me and Ryan did, I also started with a fire. We're Nuzlocking the fourth gen now. I started with... God, what is that little fucker's name? Chimchar.
Yeah.
Started with Chimchar. And the fifth gen, I started with Tepig, but I put him away very quickly. Actually, the fifth generation is probably the first time in a Pokemon game that I didn't use the starter on my very first run through.
Huh.
I got to like the second gym and I was like, no, I think I'm done with you, Enbor. Bye bye. You went in the box and never came out. I went through, yeah. And it was actually kind of cool to experience the game that way.
Well,
usually
I don't plan on using mine all the way. I actually think I'm just going to make a team of all Megas.
Okay.
Which is why I didn't grab the Fire Surfer.
You should use,
Because I'm probably just going to use Charizard again.
Yeah, you can go Charizard, or you can go with a real dragon, like Garchomp. He's got a Mega.
Oh, he does have a Mega in there.
But yeah,
what am I going to do about my Fire-type then?
What do you need Fire-type for?
It's nice to have Fire-types on the team.
You could use a Ninetales. There you go.
He doesn't have a Mega.
No, but you can use a Ninetales. Anyway.
You're not helping me here.
That's neither here nor there. Do we want to say anything about the Ruby Sapphire remakes? I mean, do you think they'll modernize it at all? Because the game has always had a weird progression. Because you're like going around that loop 2-3 times. Like that same basic loop of the game. I forget the name of the series, but like it starts at like Slateport and you have to go around through the desert, but you can't go through the desert the first time. Then you have to loop back around once you get the goggles and you can go through the desert. Anyway, but then also like really heavily relies on HMs as well. Like, yeah. There's a ton of HMs in that game. So I don't know how they're going to balance like between like the modern, more modern formula for Pokemon where they don't rely on HMs quite as much. Because in Black and White, you hardly needed them at all until you were doing like side stuff. And then in X and Y, again, you hardly needed them until you were doing some like some side stuff or going through Victory Road. But yeah. Ruby Sapphire relied on them quite a bit to impede your progress.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that the next generation of handhelds, whatever it is, the 4DS or whatever, whatever Pokemon games comes next on that system, also supports the Pokemon Bank. I can't see why not. I think the Pokemon Bank is here to stay. It seems to be a really good, more streamlined than previous games anyway, way of storing Pokemon and transferring from game to game. Because I'm not sure that I want to transfer all of my Pokemon, all of my 715 Pokemon from X and Y over to Ruby Sapphire. I think that Ruby Sapphire might be one where I run through the game, maybe transfer some back to X and Y if I can, and then
start all over again.
Yeah, move on with my life. But we'll see. Because even like transferring guys like in and out of the bank can be a hassle because you have to move them into a specific box. Then you have to move that entire box into your game. Then you have to move more into that specific box and then move more over. So even transferring over all of my guys would take quite a while just because you have to do it one box at a time as opposed to just dumping everyone into the bank. But yeah, this one's a definite buy for me, even though I'm not the biggest fan of the third generation. It's Pokemon, and you gotta catch them all.
Mm.
So, the last game I want to talk about was Persona Q Shadow of the Labyrinth, which is a 3DS game coming out on the 25th of November, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. I didn't write it down in my notes, I'm going from memory there. But it's an Entry and Odyssey game. It's made by Atlus, the same company that makes Persona and Entry and Odyssey. It's an Entry and Odyssey game with characters from Persona 3 and 4. And I think that like the formula for Entry and Odyssey games, those sort of dungeon crawly RPGs, benefit a lot from personality, and the Persona characters have a lot of personality. For example, Entry and Odyssey Millennial Girl is probably the Entry and Odyssey game I got into the most because it had like these preset characters and they all had their own abilities. Basically built a party for you rather than relying on a lot of customization. Sometimes you can get lost within all of like the customization and like the wandering nature of an Entry and Odyssey game, and adding characters with some personality to them will give it more of a focus. So Entry and Odyssey is a series that I like. I like the map making because I like maps. There's first-person battles that are random, which aren't my favorite, but they function well, and the character classes that they use are usually pretty interesting and pretty diverse as well. It does tend to be a bit grindy, the series in general, but, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world to grind a little bit. It just has to pay off. There has to be, like, benefit from all the grinding. But anyway, that's Entry and Odyssey. That's probably one that I'll also be getting. And I'm hoping, actually, that no games come out in December for the 3DS. They announced the NES remix for the 3DS, but I'm going to have a full plate of 3DS games, so I'm hoping for like a little bit of a lull here, so I'll be able to catch up. Anyway, so, I don't know, we've been going for like an hour and 15 minutes. Should we do the GBA corner, or should we just skip it this time?
It's Advance Wars, right?
Yeah.
I don't care, it's up to you.
Well, I don't want to be the only one talking, so maybe I'll see if I can get a different guest on and do us a bonus show all about Advance Wars. Yeah, so
I don't care.
Yeah. So
I'm sorry, buddy.
No, it's cool. I mean, you're the one missing out. It's a fantastic series. It's a fantastic game. It's a fantastic franchise.
How am I going to sleep tonight?
I wish they do another one. You like Fire Emblem. How can you not like Advance Wars?
I don't know. It's not.
different.
I feel like we have to cure you. I feel like there's something wrong with you, and you need to be cured. You, for some reason, you have this disease.
I'm scared right now. All right.
You have a disease of not, I'm going to get my friend Dick Cheney on the phone, and we're going to go to his dungeon and cure you. We're going to cure you with the power of prayer. And at the end, you will like Advance Wars.
And then he'll steal my heart and devour it as I'm sitting there dying.
Right. But at least he'll be cured.
He'll be cured.
All right. I think...
I just got a picture of you and Dick Cheney in a dungeon with me struck and chained up, and you guys just praying to Dick Cheney in like a priest outfit with a Bible.
Oh, you're pitching a priest outfit? I was like picturing some sort of like demented dominator, like the mask with the zipper mouth.
And, well, you said pray, so.
Well, you know, some fucked up things happens in dungeon. I was just a dungeon. What is it?
Dungeon? Maybe he's got the priest outfit and there's a dumb mouth.
Oh, please just tell me I'm wearing jeans and a t-shirt in this scenario. I don't care.
I don't even...
Okay. You have a rubber ball in your mouth for sure.
Dr. God, why? Why, John?
So, I think on that note...
Yeah, perfect note to close on this one.
Rubber ball in your mouth. Yeah. Yeah, that's... After 4 years, that is the only conclusion we can draw. Yeah,
chew the book.
So, next week, officially, will be the Pokemon show. Okay. Where I'm... Ryan seems to have fallen off the face of the earth. Again? Yeah.
I guess it is that time of the month.
Yeah. I haven't been able to get a hold of him in the past few days. So if I'm not able to get a hold of him pretty soon, we'll have to just like scramble and talk something about Pokemon. We'll do something and then decide and do it. I have no idea. We're directionless here. I have no idea what's happening. But one thing that is pretty cool, I got a couple of bonus shows coming up. I'm going to try to get the Advance Wars bonus show, and then I'm also going to do a bonus show with a couple of friends from Miiverse, where we're just going to talk about some general Nintendo topics. But that's beside the point. The important thing is we're going to do a Pokemon show about something.
Yeah.
And that'll be
probably the next. About Pokemon.
Shut up. God, what did we just talk about with your stupid jokes?
I enjoy them.
All right, till next time, everybody.
So long, Judah Boo.